Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to...
Your machine is going to floomy floomy.
Exactly.
Ah, hiya, hiya, thank you, and thank you.
I wonder if the band is ready now.
Will you stop this foolishness?
What foolishness would you like to see?
And at no time will we be stooping to any cheap 3D tricks.
Did you say cheap 3D tricks?
This is your Walt Disney World picture phone operator. How may I be of assistance?
Ah, that's funny!
Yeah, good, good. Check, 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 up, 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 check.
Are you a man or a Muppet?
I've got a whole new act for the 3D movie. Just wait here, I'll get him.
WDW Radio. Your information station.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to the WDW Radio Show, your guide to Walt Disney World and Disney parks around the world. I am your host, Lou Mangiello, and this is show number 811. Thank you so very much for being here, because together since 2004, we've been sharing Disney magic here through the podcast, my weekly live video every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, blog, live events, newsletter, and more. Please join the community and conversation over at wdwradio.com. And this week, we delve into some big news: the bittersweet closure of Muppet Vision 3D, the exciting arrival of Monstropolis at Disney's Hollywood Studios, and details about the new Lakeshore Resort coming to Walt Disney World. We're also going to speculate on the future of Muppets in the park. I don't think they're done yet. Some of the details in the Monstropolis concept art, which I think is pretty interesting, and what else might be coming as we look to the past, present, and what I think is going to be the exciting future of the Disney parks and resorts here in Walt Disney World. And this week's show is a little different, as it was recorded during this past week's WDW Radio live show on Facebook and YouTube. So I was also able to react and respond to your comments in the live chat. And if you missed this past week's live show, please join me every Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, on Facebook and YouTube. Also, be sure to stay tuned for our Disney Trivia Question of the Week for a chance to win a Disney prize package. Also, don't forget to sign up for my free weekly email newsletter to not only stay connected and not miss an update, but when you do, you can instantly download a free copy of my 102 Things to Do at Least Once in Walt Disney World book. Please connect with me on social. I am at Lou Mangiello. And visit loumangiello.com if you are looking for a speaker for your event, conference, or business and want to apply lessons from the Disney parks to your organization. Or if you are a creator or solopreneur who's ready to turn your passion into your profession, I'd love to help you via courses, coaching, or my Momentum series of events. And if you like what you hear on this week's episode, please share the show and tell a friend. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode of the WDW Radio Show. Good evening, my friend. Welcome to WDW Radio Live and happy Friendsgiving, Thanksgiving Eve, Wicked Wednesday, whatever you are celebrating, even if you're celebrating in the kitchen as you are getting ready to feast tomorrow with friends and family. Thank you so very much for joining me tonight. If you're watching live, I hope you brought a snack, something to drink, and your thoughts and comments. We have a lot to unpack tonight. And if you're watching on the replay, don't forget to join us here every Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, and tag and invite a friend that you think might want to join us in our conversation tonight. But before we get to the topics at hand, because there is a lot to talk about, I quickly want to point your attention to, it came out a little late, came out very, very late last night, but there was a reason why. This week's podcast, I had a very special, unique opportunity and privilege to talk with the head of Disney's signature experiences, including Disney Cruise Line, Aulani, Story Living, like you name it, Thomas Maslum, there's a good chance he is the head of that division. And we had a chance to talk not just about the upcoming Disney Treasure and the Destiny and the Adventure, but really the entire future of Disney Cruise Line. It was a fascinating conversation, really into a number of different aspects, from the culture and philosophy of Disney with what they are doing, not just domestically, but really this sort of global outreach in terms of going to places like Singapore, what sort of challenges and opportunities having a nearly completed skeleton of a ship like the Adventure brought to Disney Cruise Line, reaching out to new markets that are not necessarily used to this type of story-driven, family-friendly cruise line experience. We talked about the Disney ship that is being built for Oriental Land Company in Japan. We talked about customer service, customer experience. It was a lot to unpack. So whether you are a Disney Parks fan, a cruise line fan, a business fan, a leadership, someone who's in leadership, I think there's a lot to take away from a fascinating conversation. I just needed like two more hours. I had like two more hours worth of questions sort of percolating in my head. And the challenge for me was knowing that I had a finite amount of time trying to get the stories told that I wanted him to at least touch on, but unfortunately having to move very, very fast along the way. So if you can, please make sure you check it out. More importantly, if you can share that with a friend, whether you share it on Facebook, X, Instagram, tag me if you do, or like while you're listening to the show, take a screenshot, text it to somebody who you think might be interested, and you can share it on LinkedIn as well. Carlos Bravo says, a great interview with Tom. Yeah, Thomas is, I've known him for a number of years. Very, very nice guy, very approachable. Really enjoyed our conversation. Like I said, I only just wish I had more time to chat. So also, before we get to that, it is Thanksgiving week, which for some folks, it means getting together, seeing loved ones who maybe you haven't seen in a long time. For others, it's getting together, seeing family that you fortunately have not seen for a long time. For others, it is about the food. And for others, it is also about Black Friday and sales. And it's not really this as much as it was any, like, you remember see the videos of like people rioting for Cabbage Patch dolls and televisions and all it. That doesn't necessarily happen as much anymore unless you go to some Walmarts, but that's fine. But I have a Black Friday sale of my own in a brand new merchandise shop that I just launched a few days ago. If you go to www.com/merch, I have an entirely new line of products. I have a new vendor for the products. I have sampled almost everything that is in the store and really, really happy with what they have. More importantly, if you use code Black Friday, you'll save 10% and there's free shipping, which comes automatically for any orders over $50. So if you order any logo gear, take a picture of it, share it on social, tag me or send it to me, and I will reshare it. The quality is really nice. It comes in a number of different colors. It also comes very, very quickly as well. So again, visit www.com/merch. Okay, with that out of the way, this was a big week. This was a big week for Disney. We had not one, not two, but three, count them, three big announcements from Disney. And I think all of which sparked a mix of excitement and speculation and conversation, we'll call it conversation, and some criticism among fans and the press. And we will sort of go through each one individually, because obviously two of them are very tightly linked. And I think the third one is, you know, in an ancillary type of way, linked as well. Let's talk about what we know. Let's talk about what we think, what we speculate. And I certainly welcome and invite you to share your thoughts in the comments as well. I will try and sort of monitor everything all at the same time. I'm spinning a lot of plates here all by myself at once. Let's go over to Monsters, Inc. Land, whatever it is going to be called, Monstropolis, over at Disney's Hollywood Studios. We now were given this sort of bird's eye view of what Monstropolis is going to look like. We also know, now we know where it's going to go. We already knew why. Now we just need to know when, and maybe a little bit of what. And as we start to break down this artwork, we can see that it's sort of meant to take the scenes that we saw, even sort of passing especially in the early parts of the very first Monsters, Inc. You get these vibrant city streets where you feel that the monsters reside, to sort of really immerse us into the daily life of Monstropolis. One of the very first things I noticed was the Muppets Fountain with Statue of Liberty, Miss Piggy, and some of the other characters is now a Mike Wazowski with one eye statue. We also see in the back the suspended roller coaster, which is going to replicate that door vault scene in the movie, which I think is going to promise a very unique and very dynamic ride experience. I think we also, as we start to sort of look through, this was the original concept art for what we thought was going to be sort of from the movie for the exterior. This is what we see now, right? We have that sort of warehouse-like design that also captures the industrial feel of the movie. We know that this is going to be the much anticipated ride through the sort of hall of doors. There's some other things, though, that we notice as we start to look a little deeper. So obviously we know, and we'll get to Muppets, right? Muppets is going away. This is now going to be a Monstro Theater, which I have to imagine is going to be a 3D monster, not a monster movie, but a 3D movie that includes monsters, not Muppets. There's also going to be dining and shopping venues as well. So if we start to sort of look a little bit deeper in over to the left-hand side, we see the Christmas shop is gone, the Muppet Studio store is gone, but we do see in the background, and this is, you know, we sort of speculated, was this going to be a facade? All I see is Harryhausen's, the sushi restaurant from, and it, which I have to imagine is going to be a fun, dynamic, very lively, really sort of interactive type of sushi restaurant experience. I think there's obviously going to be some additional, it looks like there may be a little like cart, either a merchandise cart or a food cart there. I'm sure there's going to be lots of merchandising as well. Becky says, I'm so glad Muppets are taking over the coaster. I may actually go back on it. She'll take Bonine first. Connor Brown says, I will say this. You give me a Harryhausen sushi restaurant from the film in this new land, and not only will I buy Lou Mangiello every single meal there and everything that he wants, but all will be forgiven somewhat for evicting the Muppets. Stay tuned. We're getting to Muppets. Amy says, my mom is worried about Piggy's fountain. Unfortunately, the fountain is going to go away, but just because it's gone, it doesn't mean it will be forgotten. Because as we start to talk about Muppets, there may be a location this can go. Before I move over to Muppets, I want to know your thoughts on this area first, right? Before we get sort of the Muppets discussion and losing, and you can talk about losing Muppet Vision 3D, but we'll talk about where Muppets are going, because I know, like Jeanette's saying, she's happy Muppets are going to take over Rock and Roller Coaster as well. How do you feel about where this is going? I know this was cause of a lot of speculation and concern for a lot of people. Sean says Monstropolis looks beautiful. Purely from the concept art, I agree wholeheartedly. Oops, well, that's the wrong one. I think as we sort of get this overall look, it has this sort of Galaxy's Edge-like immersive feel to it. Connor says, I'm also intrigued by the laugh floor billboard at the top left. Does it mean they might move the laugh floor from Magic Kingdom to this new land? That's a good catch. Let me see if I can zoom in and find that artwork here a little bit. Remember, I'm doing all this by myself, so, well, clearly I can't, but that's fine. So yeah, I wonder, Connor Brown, you know, look, Monsters Inc. Laugh Floor, except during the busier parts of the year, is not, you know, let's call it what it is, it is not the busiest attraction in the world. Is this something that you make way for something else, or do you sort of, you know, bring it over here and maybe breathe new life into it because it is going to be in its own dedicated area? Brett Bowen says, what about Pizza Rizzo? I think if you want to either have your favorite pizza and or dine in the New Jersey Italian Wedding Pavilion upstairs, which is what I affectionately call it, I would do it sooner rather than later, although we'll talk more about when we think this is going to happen. But that seems like it is going to be going away as we look more closely at, I think, you know, that area, probably that kitchen is where Harryhausen's is going to be. Valor says, any talk on time frame? We'll talk a little more about that, but I am purely speculating that I think we have a lot of time, meaning that I don't foresee this closing until probably early to mid 2025, just based on the construction timetables of other things that are going on throughout the park. Heather says, get it done. Like, she's looking forward to it right now. Sharon loves the concept art. Amy says, my childhood nostalgia of the 1990s original park was the last thing that was left. Look, I get it. I absolutely get the fact. And this is the difficulty, right? Is this balance of appealing to a new and next generation while still also being able to touch and pull on the heartstrings of guests who have been coming to this park since this area opened. And I think it's sometimes the difficult balance that Disney unfortunately has to strike. Deb says, don't shoot me. I've never seen the movies. No need to gasp, Deb, because all you need to do is fire up Disney Plus. Token Fanboy says, what about Mama Melrose's? As we say in Italy, not that I am, well, I mean, I'm from Italy, but not from Italy. We say sayonara or ciao. Mama Melrose is going to be history like the Aztecs. That being said, I don't necessarily think that we are there. We'll get to Muppets. We'll get to Muppets. I think there's going to be a Muppet themed dining experience that is going to come over to the Sunset Boulevard area. So that is where we are in terms of the Monster Land. This is the little bit more of a close up of the area that is going to be connecting Monstropolis. We'll call it Monstropolis for lack of a better term at this point, with Galaxy's Edge. There's that extended queue area for Muppets that has a little bit, what appears to be a little more greenery. There's some cars parked on the street, which I think is interesting, but it almost feels like that archway, that portal to Galaxy's Edge, almost feels like it's more in line with Monstropolis while still also having that deco feel that Grant Street currently has. So we will see. But the Muppets are moving right along to Sunset Boulevard. Technically, it's Gower Street. And I have to say, because I don't get a lot of things right, I rarely get things right, but I called this like months ago. I said it on our show. I said it on, Matthew Woolley, forgive me. You invited me on a show and I can't remember what it was called. But I said, what if, you know, because we were talking about the refurbishment of Rock and Roller Coaster, and like it was down for a while, but when it came back up, it was still Aerosmith. But the relative relevance of Aerosmith, but to ensure that Muppets remain present in the park, they are going to take over Rock and Roller Coaster, which is going to be reimagined as sort of a rock music festival, not with, you know, a number of different bands, but it's going to be the Muppets alongside what they're saying are some renowned musicians. Now, what that looks like, I don't know. Are the renowned musicians from real life, or are they going to be renowned musicians like the Electric Mayhem band? Whatever the case may be, this really is the first time that we're going to see the Muppets in an actual ride, right? We obviously had the Muppet show, but this is the first time we're going to see them in a ride. So, you know, like for Monstropolis, right? The reaction has been a lot of Disney fans very eager for a new immersive land, but the closure of Muppet Vision 3D, which is one of Jim Henson's final projects, has led to a lot of conversations about preserving his legacy. And I think Disney really wanted to, and very rightly so, indicated that they're finding ways to, quote, preserve the film and other elements of the experience for future enjoyment. So just because Muppet Vision 3D in its old form is gone, that might come with a bit of an asterisk. Right? Because now, again, same thing, fan reaction. A lot of excitement that Muppets are getting a dedicated attraction, something that is going to be fresh. It's going to be new. It's going to be obviously a lot of humor. But again, you've got some folks that express that same sense of loss and sentiment for the Aerosmith theme. And I think there's also some concern, right? Because we've talked over the past number of years about why have we not seen more Muppets in the parks, right? Why have we not seen either freshening of the attraction or something new? We saw them come into Liberty Square and then they left. I still think that Hall of Presidents should have, like, before November, Hall of Presidents should have become and still can become a Muppet History of America. I think that solves a lot of potential sort of just, you know, nonsensical political problems, but I think it also adds a layer of humor, another attractor and attraction in Liberty Square, especially one for families and young kids. I think it adds a lighthearted element to Liberty Square, and you no longer have any sort of issues with who wins an election or who doesn't, because it's the Muppets History in America, and everyone loves everyone loves the Muppets. That being said, Muppets, if you look at the relatively recent track record of Muppets on the big and small screen, you know, Muppets Most Wanted didn't necessarily do very well. The Muppet TV show on ABC did not last very long. Muppet Mayhem on Disney Plus did not critically necessarily do well. There hasn't been any new movies recently. I think the best thing that Muppets have done in the past number of years has been Muppets Haunted Mansion, which I think is honestly the best of the Haunted Mansion movies. Again, Muppets make everything better. So there has been this sort of very mixed reaction online, and it's very understandable. I think a lot of fans are disappointed over losing an attraction that I think holds not just personal, subjective thoughts and feelings and memories, but really some sort of, you know, historical significance as well. Look, the Jim Henson Company itself, and even though Disney bought Muppets, they did not buy the Jim Henson Company. So there still is a Jim Henson Company. Like, they still own things like Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, right? Which is why you can see this all over the place. It's, you know, they sold off Sesame Street separately. So there is sort of still this parent division that owns certain elements of it. And, you know, I think what they said was, like, perfectly worded, right? I think they acknowledged the closure. They talked about the show's legacy, the unique blend of cheap 3D tricks and live action elements. And I think, while still sort of emphasizing Jim Henson and the Henson Company's, like, ongoing commitment to innovation, and sort of having to sort of take those next steps. And I think I applaud them for expressing the sense of optimism about sort of the next act for Muppet Vision 3D, which I think suggests future development or adaptations of it. I don't think we've seen the last of pre-show elements and in-show elements from Muppet Vision 3D. So, you know, yes, we wanted this reimagining of the Muppet presence in the park. We did get it maybe in a place we didn't expect it. But I think the Henson Company's response reflects this great balance between honoring the past and embracing future possibilities for the Muppet franchise, which I think is, you know, a good lesson for us as well. And we've talked on the show a lot in the past about Muppets, because they're, from very early on, after Disney MGM Studios opened, there were plans for a much, much larger presence of Muppets in the parks. If you go back to show 169, we have a very in-depth conversation about the Muppets that never were in Walt Disney World. On show 251, we looked at the Muppets in Walt Disney World, where we looked back, speculated forward. I wonder how much I got right or probably wrong on that show. And if you go way back into time to show number 82, I actually had Muppet Vision 3D creators Jim Lewis and Craig Shaiman, who were former Disney, Jim Henson Company staff writers, talking about the genesis and the creation and the evolution of the attraction itself. I'll post those over in the clubhouse. But if you are a Muppet fan, scared about what's to come, desperate for more Muppets, or just a fan of Muppet Vision 3D, I would like it if you went back and took a listen. But I think, you know, in terms of, we talk about what we know and what we don't know, I think there's speculation in terms of what the storyline is going to be. What is this pre-show going to be like? How immersive is it? You know, we know, you know, the rock and roller sort of pre-show is kind of the stuff of legends for those of us who have memorized the script. I think we talked, somebody asked about when this is going to happen. I think, and I know nothing, I'm guessing, my speculation is from mid-2025, only because we're going to get the new, in Disney's Hollywood Studios, we're going to be getting the new Little Mermaid and the Villain's Magic Mirror stage show, which is going to open around summer. So you can have those two things opening. And again, Villains is only going to be temporary, which I think is going to play into what this area is going to eventually become. But having those two things open allows you to close these other two attractions so you can sort of disperse the guest flow and interest. I'm very, very curious about, because this is always interesting too, the musical selections, not just in terms of whether it's all Electric Mayhem or if it's working with other sort of real world performers, because you run the risk of getting sort of locked into time. Timekeeper, I'm looking at you, right? Boys to Men, sort of, it dated itself very quickly. I think even Aerosmith now, for a lot of people, was unfamiliar to maybe a younger generation of thoughts, a younger generation of fans. But I think this makes absolute sense, right? It's why I sort of, you know, I say half-jokingly, but it's why I sort of suggested this as a possible option on the show a number of months ago, because I think Aerosmith is not necessarily as maybe relevant or certainly as popular as they once before. I think they're pretty much done touring. From a purely financial perspective, you know, you still have to pay them. You have to pay them licensing as opposed to something that they own outright, which is Muppets. You don't have to pay the Muppets to do this, right? They're already part of the company. And I think too, and not sort of go down a tangential road, but you know, whenever you tie your brand or an attraction like this, especially, you know, rock and roll bands from the 70s and 80s have a certain reputation that comes with it. When you do that, there are risks involved. That should not be a shocker, if you get my meaning. So, like, I'm going to just gently wink and keep moving on. But look, I love the idea of more Muppets. I think we've been all asking for it for years. And I think the Electric Mayhem band just makes sense. This is the perfect opportunity to sort of, I think, rejuvenate the Muppet presence in the parks, Muppet presence in our own minds and our hearts. And maybe sort of this will be the catalyst to start seeing more things like Muppet's Haunted Mansion on Disney Plus, maybe another Muppet movie on the big screen. However, I also need to throw in a caveat, because this is not all Days of Swine and Roses, for those of you who remember. By closing Muppet Vision 3D and moving Muppets over to a fast roller coaster that goes upside down in the dark, it does preclude and prevent some guests who don't want to or are unable to ride a roller coaster to lose out on a Muppet experience in the park. I am very hyper. I absolutely understand that. So whether it is a motion sensitivity, whether it's a height requirement, whether it's fitting in, whatever the case may be, right? The list goes on and on of guests who cannot or just don't want to ride an inverted roller coaster. You know, I understand where that concern comes, because now you've lost the opportunity to experience Muppets in something that was, you know, literally and figuratively accessible to anyone. Right? Anybody could go and watch Muppet Vision 3D. That makes me think and really sort of believe that there will be more Muppety goodness in that area, right? And whether in it's the exterior area, in the queue, or on Gower Street, or even elsewhere in the studios, possibly in another park. I have thoughts. And I do think, the long-term vision, and we haven't seen this, this is purely my speculation, but I'll call back to this if I get it right. I honestly believe that Sunset Showcase has already been set aside as another Muppet attraction, a Muppet restaurant, some sort of Muppet-like experience. Once the Villain's Magic Mirror show is finished, once Villain's Land is in Magic Kingdom is open. The Villain Magic Mirror show is a temporary villain placeholder, whet your appetite, get you excited for what is to come, I think, over in Magic Kingdom. That is not meant to be a permanent installation. What that's doing is that, and obviously neither is a Lightning McQueen attraction, clearly, but is this going to be a Muppet restaurant? Is this going to be where some of the Muppet concepts that never saw the light of day actually come to pass? Remember, there was an entire Muppet Studio Land that was planned for Disney MGM Studios. Go back to the Muppets That Never Were show. I talk about it in depth, and I think I still have photos in the show notes of what the concept art looked like. There was discussion at one point for a great Muppet movie ride, and possible overlay of the great movie ride for the great Muppet movie ride. And in this Muppet Studio Land, there was going to be not one, but two restaurants. The Great Gonzo's Pandemonium Pizza Parlor, or Pizza Palace? Pizza Parlor, and the Swedish Chef's Cooking School, which, to me, would fit in perfectly right there. You know what else would fit in perfectly right there? A big, sit-down, themed restaurant that is family-friendly that the park does not have a lot of, right? How many of those locations that fit that bill are there really, right? There's the Woody's, there's the Backyard Barbecue. You can make an argument for Docking Bay 7, but is there some sort of, and obviously there's Hollywood and Vine and things like that, but something that is a Muppet-themed restaurant would kill there, not just because I think the studios need another sit-down dining location, but something that is a themed, story-driven, fun type of experience. I think it just makes perfect sense. So my call at this point is that Sunset Showcase will either be a second Muppet attraction that will be more inviting, welcoming, family-friendly for, you know, from younger kids up to grandma, grandpa, and those with mobility or motion sensitivity issues, and or a Muppet-themed restaurant. I think it just makes sense. Amanda Bonner also says, and I'm trying to go back to the comments, can we also get a Muppets Day at Sea? But Amanda, I think that's it. I think this is the test bed to see the, you know, Disney said, look, we hear you, right? We hear you. Those who are Muppets fans want more Muppets. Here you go. Will we, as fans, allow this to sort of pay dividends for Disney so they say, hey, there is this resurgent interest in Muppets. We can do a Muppet Day at Sea on DCL, which I think would kill. If they do, I promise you this, the day it is announced, Becky and I will be on the phone and we will announce a WDW Radio Muppet Day at Sea cruise without question. Like, Becky's going to text me in 3, 2, 1. Randall Jackson says, I love a Muppet-themed restaurant. Ray Keating says, would a Muppet restaurant serve pork chops? Well done. A man also says, studios is the weakest in dining options for sure, which is why I think a restaurant, a Muppet-themed restaurant there makes sense. Somebody at WDI is blowing the dust off those concept art drawings and those models that they probably already had, because the Gonzo's Pandemonium Pizza Parlor was very, very close to being something that was executed on. Becky says, yeah, the studios does really need a new sit-down restaurant. I absolutely agree 100%. So, and Mary says, I wonder if the Villain show was announced as temporary because they don't want to let everybody know that Muppets is moving in. Yeah, Mary, I think that's the case, right? I think Villains is going to be an attractor in and of itself, right? I think we've also been craving Villains. I think the Sunset Showcase is a perfect place to be able to rotate things like that in and out of. But once that's gone, that is meant to be the new home. And that section of Gower Street is now going to be the new Muppet Courtyard. It's going to be the new Muppet corner of the park. So while it may not necessarily be, you know, the entire Muppet Studios land that was meant for that section of the park, it is a smaller, abbreviated, newer, updated version that I think will hopefully have something for everybody in the family to enjoy. Tom Eckert says, I will be the chef of the restaurant. I'm Swedish. Well, I think that's one of probably very few requirements as to Muppet Chef that you need to have. So as I'm quickly scrolling through, there's a lot of love for Muppets. Some people want Muppets in Tower of Terror. Some people don't. Yes, it is why I'm wearing my Gonzo Light the Lamp, Not the Rat t-shirt, because I am super excited for Muppet Christmas Carol, which may or may not be my favorite movie of the holiday season. We'll do that as a show. Somebody remind me, top 10 holiday movies, maybe we'll top 10 holiday movies on Disney Plus. How's that? We'll do that as a, I'll do that as either a top five or a top 10. Becky also says, I also think the queue is going to be amazing. I think this space is where like Imagineers sort of get to roll up their sleeves and just have so much fun with it. And that's kind of what I'm looking for. I think we saw something like that in Runaway Railway in the queue in Toontown and Disneyland, even more so than we have here just because of the layout of the space. I think what this queue and the pre-show area affords them is really, really great, opportunity as well. So anyway, let us move on because in addition to Muppets, right? Muppets who we've been so happy to see come in and through, and in the photo on screen, this was actually a photo from a Muppet. This was a Muppet TV special promoting like the Muppets in coming to Walt Disney World. But we also did get another new, exciting, and I think necessary addition and update coming to the parks, because this was something that was announced a while ago for a variety of reasons, was sort of quietly shelved and has sort of come back. I think one of the things that happened as a result of this is it gave sometimes additional time to look at, pun intended, reflect upon some of the decisions and then make things better. What I'm talking about is Reflections, which is now going to be a Disney Lakeside Lodge, is now going to be the Disney Lakeshore Lodge. Let me explain. River Country, which was the first water park in Walt Disney World, located near the Contemporary, closed in 2001. It sat empty and idle for a number of years. In 2018, Disney announced plans to transform the former site into what was called Reflections, a Disney Lakeside Lodge, which was a nature-inspired resort with 900 hotel rooms and Disney Vacation Club villas, which I loved because I liked that area. I love that sort of natural space. I also liked the fact that I think it really was sort of aimed to celebrate Walt's appreciation for nature, which was going to incorporate unique accommodations like treehouse suites and waterfront A-frame cabins. There was a Princess and the Frog themed restaurant, which was planned along the Bayou of Bay Lake, which I was very excited for. However, there were a lot of delays, particularly due to COVID. Construction was halted in 2020, and that site just sort of remained dormant and kind of, you know, don't look over here for a number of years. Disney then announced the development of the Disney Lakeshore Lodge, which Disney recently this week announced the development of Lakeshore Lodge, which is set to open in 2027, which is going to replace Reflections, which was canceled, obviously, during the pandemic. What we've seen now is an updated version of some of the concept art. This is still, once again, going to be situated along the shores of Bay Lake. Same footprint as the former River Country Water Park, but the design, I think, has been updated. I actually like the newer design over the older. Again, taking inspiration from nature, the influence on Disney artists, the very tranquil, immersive experience. We haven't heard really anything about specifics in terms of amenities and accommodations, which I'm sure we'll get as the project starts to progress. We're seeing very, very sort of early concept art in terms of what this is going to look like. And it seems that the response has been very curious about the design and amenities and how it's going to integrate with some of the existing properties, what this means in terms of, you know, we see concept art, and I think, like we saw with the Polynesian, sometimes people jump to very quick conclusions. I don't like it. I don't like this. And then once you see it sort of come together, you realize early concept art is just that. And sometimes it needs to sort of come together a little bit more before you get a sense of what it actually looks and feel like. But I think, again, and when I said that this was somewhat connected to the other things we were talking about, I think this highlights Disney's efforts to refresh and expand. And then, you know, there's a very delicate balance. No matter what they do, they're not going to make everybody happy, but you have to sort of balance this idea of nostalgia with innovation, right? Guests want, you know, overwhelmingly, they want, you know, affordable, accessible, upscale, modern designs that sometimes, you know, just inherently conflict with this this idea of, you know, senses of nostalgia. So I'm quickly looking. Suzanne Armstrong, yes, there will obviously be new restaurants as well. DVC members are excited. But again, this is not a purely Disney vacation. So a couple of things. One, this is not purely a Disney vacation club resort. And two, there seems to be continuing either confusion or just knee-jerk reactions. People hear Disney Vacation Club and say, well, I can't stay there because it's a Disney Vacation Club resort, and that's not the case. Any guest can book a Disney Vacation Club resort, even if you are not a DVC member. Cash is still king, baby. You can still book with cash. The only difference is that Disney Vacation Club members have a bigger window, an earlier window to start booking, but everything is bookable to anybody, preferably through our friends over at Mouse Fan Travel, who can help you navigate some of those things. Disney Vacation Club members seem to be very excited. Kendall Foreman, frequent guest on the show. We need to do another show soon. Been saying for years there needs to be a moderate Magic Kingdom area resort. There hasn't been, at least not that I've seen, a sort of an outward expression of what sort of quote-unquote tier this is going to be. There obviously is a Disney Vacation Club element to it, but that does not necessarily mean I don't know where this is going to sit in terms of cost, right? So hopefully it is something that is accessible from a price point perspective. And I think the more rooms Disney adds to the property, right, it helps with the supply and demand issue, right? So now look, say what you will about the resorts are booked. They're full, right? They're at 98% capacity like year round. So there is a need to add more of these types of rooms, especially to this, I think, area of the park, which will ease some of that burden. And hopefully, you know, my hope is that by adding more rooms, it will also ease the price burden as well. Becky says, yeah, you know, looking for new value or moderate, not just a DVC resort. We don't know. We have no idea what the pricing is going to be. And anybody who says otherwise is purely speculating. So, which, you know, surprise is sometimes what some people on the internet want to do. But so that's where we are. We had not one, not two, but I think three big. And look, at the very least, these are exciting times to be a Disney fan, right? Why, with going back to Thomas Maslow, we have not one, not two, not three, not four. We have 13. The fleet is expanding to 13 ships by 2031. That is not that far away. The folks over at the shipyards in Papenburg, Germany, and in Italy are working overtime to get these ships out. And I don't think that they are all going to be mirrors of the Wish class ships. I don't necessarily mean that they're going to be bigger, but I think that Disney understands that there are a variety of different interests and tastes and markets and demographics that are looking to sail for the first or next time on Disney Cruise Line. We're getting this entirely new land over in Disney's Hollywood Studios. It's like its own middle, like mini park, which I may or may not be exceptionally excited about the fact that there's a Harryhausen's. I'm expecting sushi restaurant going to be there. We're getting more Muppets. I don't think, you know, not just because I think the restaurant is going to go in to the where Lightning McQueen is, but I think this hopefully might be that first sort of snowball down the hill, the first domino to fall, whatever you want to call it, of more Muppets coming to the park. I don't think it will be exclusively to Disney's Hollywood Studios. I would like to see it in Hall of Presidents, right? A Muppet History of America. I would like to see it more on Disney Cruise Line. I think, Amanda, you had a good idea and a good point. I think if this is successful, this may very well be a testbed for something like that. You know, we have the Muppets Midship Detective Agency game that you can play on Dream and Fantasy. So we will see. We will see what this is going to be. And look, we're getting another new resort, which I think is very much needed. And I love the open, modern, clean design that it brings. I love that section from a purely like feeling like you've escaped the Central Florida heat and crowds. And places like Wilderness Lodge and the Boulder Ridge Villas, it's very much that sense of escapism because you're on that serene water. And I think that's what this new lodge is going to bring to the areas. So again, a lot of stuff to be excited for this Thanksgiving season. I think we all have a lot to be thankful for, not just as Disney Cruise Line fans, but Disney fans. And I think just in general, I say this all the time every year. I say it every holiday, like, you know, Mother's Day, I don't think we should be celebrating our moms only one day of the year. Same thing for Father's Day. And I think Thanksgiving is the same thing. Like, I love Thanksgiving and I love getting together and I love how it starts to, you know, sometimes warm the hearts of people who sometimes maybe forget about the simple, important things. But I think we also I think we should be thankful every single day. I think that even if you hate your job, that's a dream job from somebody who is not employed. If you, you know, wish you had a bigger house or you wish you had whatever, there's somebody who's homeless that wishes they had your house. If you, the fact that you're healthy is a dream of somebody who is not. And so don't let difficult times, don't let the fact that things aren't perfect, not let you be thankful the things that you do and have. Sorry, Kevin Lively, I'm trying to be all like sentimental. Kevin's like, moms also have Labor Day. So, but in this spirit of giving thanks, there's a lot to be thankful for. You know, it may not be the big thing. Sometimes it's just an aggregate of some of the small things. And you should be thankful every day, much as I am for you. I promise you, a day does not go by that I do not wake up in the morning and lay my head down on my desk, the couch, the bed, wherever it might be at night. And I am not grateful for this, right? For you and the relationship that we have and the friendship that we have and the gift that you give me every single day by allowing me to do what I do, whatever it is, what I do each and every week. I also have to give huge thanks to Becky and the team over at mousefantravel.com as I talk slowly trying to find the Mouse Fan Travel. I'm on the wrong window. That's why I can't find it. But anyway, my friends over at Mouse Fan Travel. So whether you are looking to book your cruise or trip to Walt Disney World or whatever it might be, there it is. That was on the wrong window. Go and check out our friends over at mousefantravel.com for a free, no obligation quote, as it were. Don't forget again to check out this week's podcast. I also, I have a couple of things I want to share with you. Speaking of cruises, a couple of things. I will be on the Treasure December 9th. I will be covering it live, primarily on Instagram stories and reels. I am at Lou Mangiello. Where is it? I don't have that window up either. It doesn't matter. It's fine. And I'll also be going live when I can from there. And if you want to come on the Treasure with us, we still have room on our cruise on the Treasure, February 8th through the 15th. It is not just a group cruise on the Disney Treasure. It's also going to be WW Radio's 20th anniversary, which is wild, If they can't make the Treasure, we are also going to be on the Destiny in February of 2026. We're also talking about some other cruises coming up, so stay tuned as well. We still have one spot left for our Adventures by Disney to Japan. I promise you, this is a life-changing experience. It changed my life so much, we're going back again. We have one room left for this Adventures by Disney. We have one spot left for our Adventures by Disney to Disneyland and Hollywood, which goes to the studios and archives and Imagineering and Disneyland. If you've never done an Adventures by Disney, this is a great way to sort of try it out, do something domestically. You don't have to worry about no passport, no visas or passports required. It is an amazing, amazing trip. And we still have a few spots left for our Seine River cruise, which is also an Adventures by Disney to Paris and Normandy in September. We're probably going to do a little post action in Disneyland Paris as well. Again, to find out more about any or all of these, you can visit www.com/events. And because we're talking about Muppets and because I love you, I want to tell you first that our next meet of the month is going to be a Muppet meet of the month. Saturday, December 21st, we're going to meet upstairs outside of Pizza Rizzo. We'll hang out, we'll chat, and then we will say goodbye to, or at least collectively, say goodbye to Muppet Vision 3D. That is Saturday morning, December 21st, unless I find out that the parks are going to be crazy crowded. It doesn't matter. We'll still go and do it anyway. There's something else I wanted to share, and I can't exactly remember what it was. It doesn't matter. It probably isn't that important. If you want to make sure that you know, listen, if you don't want to have to rely on me to remember to tell you during the live show, please make sure you subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and update. Go to www.com/subscribe. When you do, I will instantly send you a free copy of my 102 things to do at least once in Walt Disney World book. I promise that is the best way to stay updated. You get exclusive content as well as some exclusive contests. I've got a couple of things coming. Stay tuned for a very, very cool item from and for the Disney Treasure I'm going to be giving away next week. But you also get early access to information by subscribing to the newsletter sometimes before I talk about it on the show. So definitely go and check it out. What else am I forgetting? Probably a lot. This is what happens when I am juggling this all by myself. Well, it doesn't matter. Does it? It doesn't matter. Oh, I know what I was going to tell you. Here we go. From the business side of things, if you go to lumanjaro.com/mindsetmastery, you can download my free mindset mastery guide. If you're looking to take that thing that you love and turn it into the thing that you do, this is a free resource for you. And I also have a mini course. It is just $7. It is a 5-day easy email course to help you launch and grow and monetize your dream business. Again, to find out more, just visit lumanjaro.com. And tickets for Momenta and the retreat are on sale, but I'll talk more about that next week. Most importantly, I wish you a very, very, very safe, healthy, delicious, stretchy pants filled, happy Thanksgiving. No matter where you celebrate, who you celebrate it with, even if it's just by yourself. Like I said before, I think we all have a lot to be thankful for. I am thankful for you. If there's ever anything I can do for you to help you, I mean it when I say email me, reach out, lou@wwradio.com. I answer every email personally, and I will help you anytime in any way that I possibly can. I think that's it. I'm sure as soon as I hang up, I will forget something. Happy Friendsgiving. Go and watch. What is your favorite? I think there's probably only like one, maybe two. What is your favorite? We all talk about the holiday movies that, you know, come Friday, we're going to be in holiday movie season. What's your favorite Thanksgiving movie? What is your favorite Thanksgiving? I think there's really only like one. There's probably one. I mean, there's only one that I think of, which I'll have to probably watch tomorrow morning. My favorite Thanksgiving movie is not going to be watching the Giants embarrass themselves on national TV again tomorrow. It's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. John Candy, I Cried When You Passed. I absolutely love that movie. There's a few other ones. Sometimes I said Dutch is a which was not a good movie, but Dutch is a Thanksgiving movie, but not all that great. Oh, Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. There you go. Kevin Lively. Kevin Lively says, son-in-law, go follow Kevin Lively and check out his subscription box. He is Lively Land over on the Instagram, and I don't want to misspeak the name of the subscription box, but go and check it out. He's got really, really cool stuff to help you or your kids do some really creative things, and yeah, I think that's it. Peanuts Thanksgiving. Yeah, Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. So anyway, I love you. I appreciate you. Let's see if I can do stars and, there you go, stars and fireworks together. Again, thank you so very much. Have a wonderful, happy President's Day. I got my start in the Disney space by writing my very first Walt Disney World trivia book back in 2003, which is one of the reasons why I love challenging you with trivia questions each and every week, where you can test your knowledge of Disney history, see if you can identify where in Disney you may have heard a sound, song, or quote. More importantly, if you enter and answer correctly, you could win a Disney prize package. And this week's trivia contest is brought to you by Santa's favorite resort. You're like, Mangiello, how do you know what Santa's favorite resort is? Because since 2012, his favorite resort has been the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin. You know what? It's one of mine too. It's not just for the location, the dining, so good, the heavenly beds, the amazing benefits and discounts, but once again, this December, Santa and Mrs. Claus are vacationing at the Swan and Dolphin with a sleigh full of holiday activities for guests of all ages. You can join them over at Santa's Holiday Hangout by the Swan Pool on select nights for photo opportunities and festive entertainment. Kids can unleash their creativity at the Elves Magic Workshop. They can craft personalized ornaments and gifts. Every night after dusk, every 10 minutes, there's Santa's Dancing Light Spectacular, where the illuminated palms on the causeway between the hotels come alive in a music and light display. For a sweet treat, you can check out the world's largest chocolate Santa. This incredible edible, not that you could eat it, sculpture handcrafted by the resort's two-time world pastry chef. And of course, being in the heart of Walt Disney World, you're just moments away from all the holiday events at the parks, like Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, the Epcot International Festival of the Holidays, Jollywood Nights. So if you want to create an unforgettable holiday vacation or staycation or just holiday memories with a little bit of Disney magic, visit santasfavoriteresort.com to learn more. You can book your stay directly there, or better yet, use the fee-free personal services of our friends over at mousefantravel.com. Now, before we get to this week's trivia question, let's go back, review last week's, and select our winner. So last week, here in the United States, we celebrated Thanksgiving and the post-Thanksgiving stretchy pants food coma. And for some of us, yet another embarrassing display of what I guess they call it football by the New York Giants on Thanksgiving Day, but I digress. But let's talk not just about football on Thanksgiving, but the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, where Disney floats really have been a part of the parade as far back as we can remember. But Mickey, of course, was the very first float in the parade. And your question last week was to tell me, what year did the Mickey Mouse float debut? Thanks to so many of you entered, got this one correct, and knew that the answer was 1934. It was when he made his first run through Manhattan, along with other Disney friends, including Pluto, Horace Horsecollar, Practical Pig, just one of the three little pigs, and the Big Bad Wolf. And I took all the correct entries, randomly selected one, and last week you were playing for a WW Radio 3D keychain, stickers, pin, a brand new vinyl sticker, and a mystery item from Disney Cruise Line. And last week's winner, randomly selected, is Andy Prenow. So Andy, congratulations. I'll get your prize package out to you right away. And if you played last week and didn't win, that's okay, because here's your next chance to enter in this week's Walt Disney World Trivia Challenge. So the holidays are already in full swing. It happens literally overnight after Thanksgiving. And I love the festival of the holidays in Epcot for oh so many delicious reasons. Stay tuned, I have a video coming. But in the Epcot International Festival of the Holidays, there are storytellers from each of the different countries around World Showcase Promenade. Which country features a storyteller known simply as La Befana? What storyteller in World Showcase features a storyteller known as La Befana? You have until Sunday, December 8th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern to go to www.radio.com, click on this week's podcast, Use the form there. Again, I'm going to play for the keychain, the stickers, a pin, a new vinyl sticker, and in the spirit of the season, I will send you a WW Radio Christmas ornament. So good luck and have fun. That's going to do it for this week's show. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune in this and every week. I'd love to know from you a couple things. One, which of these upcoming projects excites you the most and why? Or is there something that you change about Muppets, Monsters, or the new resort coming to Walt Disney World? Let me know by being part of the community and conversation over in the WW Radio Clubhouse at wwradio.com/clubhouse. I'd also love to hear your thoughts. You can call the WW Radio voicemail at 407-900-9391. That's 407-900-WDW1. Record a message and I will play it on the air on an upcoming show. Please also connect and chat with me on social. I am at Lou Mangiello on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. And as much as I love connecting with you online, I still believe that nothing beats a handshake and a hug. So please check out the events page over on the WW Radio site or on Facebook for upcoming events, including our Meet of the Month in Walt Disney World. We're going to say goodbye to Muppet Vision 3D on Friday, December 13th, starting at 7 p.m. And I am very excited and honored to be able to share another event coming in January. It is an afternoon of magic, memories, and making wishes come true at the WW Radio Dream Team Project Lunch and Silent Auction on Saturday, January 11th at Disney's Yacht Club Convention Center. This event is going to take place for the second year in a row during Marathon Weekend, where we're going to have a buffet lunch, and then you can bid on unique Disney treasures and experiences, all to help grant life-changing wishes to kids in need, because all the proceeds go directly to Make-A-Wish. This is a very fun, heartwarming, and special event. If you were there last year, you know why. I won't spoil it for you this year. But if you can join us, I promise you it is a wonderful time and a great opportunity to help others and get some cool items in return. But if you can't be there in person, no worries, because the silent auction is also going to be online, so you can join the magic from anywhere. And I know a number of you asked last year if you were interested in donating a unique item or experience to the auction. We'd love your help to make it even more magical. Just reach out to me, lou@wwradio.com. Tickets are very limited, so head on over to wwradio.com/MAW auction, like Make-A-Wish, MAW auction 25, and get your tickets now. I'd love to make some magic together with you and hope to see you there. And speaking of special, in a very different type of context, incredibly special. I promise you the trip of a lifetime. We still have one room, a double or a triple left for our WW Radio Adventures by Disney to Japan this May. I won't go into too much detail here, but it is an incredible WW Radio only group trip on a 9-day Adventures by Disney to Japan with stops in Kyoto, Hiroshima, Takayama, Shirakawa-go, and of course Tokyo. And of course, there's going to be an opportunity for you to extend your trip, like I'm going to do, and stay for as short or as long as you want in Tokyo Disneyland as well. We did this trip a number of years ago. I loved it so much. When I say it was life-changing, it is not an exaggeration. I promise you something that you will never, ever forget. To learn more and get a free, no-obligation quote from our friends over at mousefantravel.com, again, there's only one room left. You can visit wwradio.com/japan25. And of course, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. And if you'd like to help the show and get even more magic every month, please go and be part of our WW Radio Nation over at wwradionation.com. For as little as a dollar per month, not only do you help support the show, but you also unlock exclusive rewards like scavenger hunts, group crawls, we have a private community, and fun surprise care packages from the parks. And like everything I do, your support helps fuel our Dream Team project, which thanks to you has raised more than $550,000. For Make-A-Wish, again, to learn more, visit wwradio.com/support. Finally, most importantly, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love and appreciate you. If there's ever anything I could do for you, please reach out to me at loumangiello.com. And if you like the show, and I hope that you do, please share the show, help spread the word, tell a friend. And I'm also working on a few things that I cannot wait to share with you in the next few weeks. Definitely stay tuned. Oh, and next week, starting on Monday, December 9th, I will be on the Disney Treasure. I will be sharing my experiences as they happen, primarily on my Instagram stories. I'm at Lou Mangiello on Instagram. I'll also be going live if and when I can, so turn on notifications on the WW Radio page and or on youtube.com/WW Radio. I cannot wait to share that experience with you. But in the meantime, please remember to be kind, to choose the good. Have a great day and even better tomorrow. I love you. So until next time, see ya.
Hi, everyone. It's Elizabeth from Massachusetts. Just finished listening to the two latest episodes. One was about the holidays right now in Disney, and then the second one had to do with the interview of the signature experiences that are available through Disney as well. Both episodes are great, and I'm really missing and nostalgic right now for being in the world for the holidays. I've done it with my family before. And I don't know, I've been hearing really amazing things about Jollywood Nights, and it's so tempting right now to just buy a ticket and, like, even fly down for the day because it seems like they really have listened to feedback and plussed it up since last year. And the holiday stroll for the Christmas trees, guys, if you have not experienced it at Disney Springs, you got to go see it. They do pictures, like, almost don't even do it justice. The trees are just absolutely so well decorated. And there's so many little things and details on every single one. So you have to go take a look if you are in the world for the holidays, just like Lou said. And then secondly, yeah, I really need to get on a Disney Cruise Line. I feel like in my soul I've been on a cruise, but I know I haven't. It's like one of those weird things. But I'm really excited to see these new ships, and I got to eventually get on one myself. Anyway, I hope everyone that is doing their marathon weekend training is doing well. I am running my first marathon this year, and I'm so excited but so nervous. Training's one day at a time. So don't forget you got this, and stay magical, be magical to everybody, and talk to y'all real soon. Bye.